The following show is closed captioned for the reality impaired. The Jerry Bader Show.
.906 Yahoo Sports big headline: how the Milwaukee Brewers surprised us all and owned baseball's best record in April. What? Jason and I predicted this. We saw this guy. Yeah. Well, how did you know what? I should give my assessment of how they did it before I read that. Well, there is a bright assessment. They played really, really well on the road. Duh. The question is how. I think you could overanalyze this. Here would be my answer, Jason. Tell me whether you agree or disagree. Outstanding pitching. Okay. And do you know what part of that is not getting enough credit? I mean, it is, but it isn't. The starting pitching generally has been very good. Garza was getting shelled before he got hurt yesterday. By the way, the Brewers conceded that game. Wisely. Why? I think Renicki did exactly the right thing. Okay, we took two out of three and did it in a bullpen depleting fashion, back-to-back nights. We'll just get the hell out of town and head to Cincinnati and regroup. I thought it was absolutely spot on. But what part of the pitching, just in my opinion, I think K-Rod. Yeah. He's been beyond brilliant. And for the most part, it hasn't been what Mets fans referred to as 30 minutes of terror. In most cases, he's made quick work. That's the part that's impressing the heck out of me. That he is really in a shutdown mode. Which reminds me, somewhere, Jason, you can go ahead and call me old now. I won't even question you. Those Yankees tickets. Oh, there they are. I have a pair of Yankees tickets for Mother's Day. Mother's Day pair. So, gentlemen, if you have, of course, it'd just be the two of you, but that's okay. The kids can fend for themselves on Mother's Day. Sunday, May 11th. And these are really nice. These are very nice tickets. That should be a heck of a series. Assuming the Brewers get healthy here. I think K-Rod has been spectacular. The bullpen in general has been spectacular. And the starting pitching has been very, very good. If the offense can start humming, you wonder. Now, my guess is the offense will start humming and the pitching, it's just the way, it's 162 games. But the old adage has never been truer than it is right now. And that is this. You can't win a pennant in April, but you can lose one. I would argue that if they had been swept or lost two of three to the Cardinals in this last series, I think you could have argued that could have lost the pennant for them. I don't know that. I'm just saying it's those games you don't notice at the time. If they end up winning the NL Central, and I'm not saying they're going to, but if they end up winning the NL Central and the Cardinals are a game back, this is what I'm talking about. You go back. And I would argue they had a very tough first month schedule. They played a lot of playoff teams and beat them. So it's just, it's been a fantastic start. Aramis Ramirez mashing with runners in scoring position. And let's not forget Gomez. If you want to start doing that, Carlos Gomez helps everywhere. If you were going to pick one guy that's not a pitcher, that's the guy you would pick, right, Jason? Really? You have to think about that one? Completely outside of the pitching staff. No, I put him ahead of Ramirez, but I think it's very close. They're both important. I grant you that. I think Gomez and Segura certainly has been an important part of that as well. All right, enough of that. But it is very, very exciting as they head to Cincinnati for a four-game series starting tonight. And, of course, you'll hear it right here. This posted yesterday morning on the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel website at 8:15 a.m. And usually one of the last things I do before coming on the air, 8:30 here in Green Bay, 9:06 everywhere else, is check that. And for whatever reason, I didn't. And someone brought this to my attention after the show, and then I blogged on it yesterday. You can see that at the Bader blog at jerrybadershow.com. So I do know other talk shows in the state have talked about this yesterday. And the other thing, most of them are longer than my statewide segments. So I just didn't get a chance, but I do want to talk about this now. Recently, we had Sheriff David Clark of Milwaukee County on the show. Sheriff Clark is a polarizing figure in Wisconsin. The mainstream Milwaukee media hates him because he's a black conservative. Added to that, he runs as a Democrat. That really chaps their backside. And weren't that enough, he is a pro-gun rights law enforcement official, which to them is about as bad as being a black conservative. And mostly the reason I had him on, and I don't agree with everything David Clark has ever said or done, but I certainly agree with him on gun rights. And he believes, as a law enforcement official, that he and his officers are safer and more effective if there are law-abiding citizens protecting themselves with guns. He's not a unicorn. There are others who feel that way. A good friend of mine is a law enforcement official. Actually, I know several cops who support law-abiding citizens carrying guns. I know a fair amount of them. I don't know if they all want to be outed publicly. Some are here in the Green Bay area. Some are in the Fox Valley. Some are elsewhere in the state. David Clark, because of his very outspoken position on gun rights, was a featured speaker at the NRA convention in Indianapolis last week. And in general, he riled some people. But Bruce Vilmetti of the Journal Sentinel posted this yesterday. It's not very long, so I want to read this. During his speech at the NRA, now, before I read this, actually, this is not an opinion piece. This is not an opinion piece. During his speech at the National Rifle Association's National Convention in Indianapolis last week, Milwaukee County Sheriff David A. Clark Jr. said he considers the law-abiding armed citizen to be the great equalizer. He then told three anecdotes from Milwaukee in which legal gun owners use their firearms. The first was about Jeremy Rossetto, a Cudahy man, attacked while working at an apartment building in Milwaukee in March. And I've talked about it, and I'm guessing most people in the state are familiar with that story. He was being savagely beaten by three suspects, one wielding a small club, Clark said. He told me afterwards he thought he was going to die. He was able to pull his firearm from its holster and deliver two shots, killing two of the suspects and saving his own life. The crowd cheered and whistled. Clark followed up the story of how Andy Kachansky shot at three men who came in to rob his tavern last summer, killing one of the suspects before the other two fled. The crowd cheered again. The last example was a Good Samaritan who stopped his car when he saw a man assaulting a woman on the side of the road. He told the man to stop beating the victim. The man ran toward the passerby until he showed his gun and warned he would shoot if the man came closer. The attacker then fled, Clark said. Those firearms in the hands of law-abiding citizens saved lives, he said. Listen to this. Listen to this. Okay, so Clark said, those guns save lives. Here's Vilmetti's response in a non-opinion piece. Theoretically, maybe the dead perpetrators would have killed someone during their crimes, maybe not. Actually, those guns killed three people. They did save lives, the lives of their would-be victims. But he equates dead perpetrators morally with dead victims. He goes on. The gun owners in Clark's anecdotes were found to have been acting within the law, and there are many who believe that such stories will eventually deter crime. But does it help that cause to cheer stories of people being killed? This is what upsets the sensibilities of Bruce Vilmetti. that a group of people who believe in defending yourself with a gun cheered when hearing stories of perpetrators who want to do harm are killed in that act. Now, do you remember all the uproar over Osama bin Laden and when the Navy SEALs got him, that Americans cheered and celebrated, and that was considered poor form? Now, I know I can't compare these guys to bin Laden or Hitler, but in the 1940s, people cheered at the end of World War II, and that's because Hitler was dead, the war in Europe. Do you know why I carry concealed? So nobody has to mourn me or my family, and I would rather be cheered than mourned. Villametti feels that this is just awful, that the crowd cheered. Does it help the cause to cheer stories of people being killed? He mourns for these people as though they are victims of crime. This is what we're up against with the anti-gun left. I throw this out to you, the listener, 406-1360, 888-455-1360. By the way, I have spoken with at least one conservative since the story broke that agrees with Villametti. It's 9:17.
The Jerry Bader Show.